Our second scripture this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of God, the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Pray with me. So now into these moments of word and reflection, send the work of your Holy Spirit. Stir our hearts and enliven our faith and keep us grounded always in the word of truth offered to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Past several weeks, we've been exploring a series known as The Qualities of Disciples. We've identified that Mercy started our series understanding that the Good Samaritan was the model of who is your neighbor and how we would extend God's love to another. Then we explored the images of selflessness and the quality that Christ would give his very all on the cross for us, inviting us to live in the shadow of that cross and that selfless nature. Prayer began to be that cornerstone out of which we extend the conversation with one another, but mostly with God, that the power of God's Spirit might move and influence and lead us into the path that God lays out. And lastly, last Sunday, we explored the images around the mind of Christ and what it means to see the world as Christ sees it. And so today we end our series with those famous words that Jesus shared with his disciples on the Galilean Mount, a place that he had started their ministry on earth, and now in that moment of ascension where he would return back to God, the resurrected Christ would offer us these words of command. I had a very dear friend of mine who was a member in another church who loved the sport of nitro motorcycle racing. Yeah. He invited me to come to one of his events that I could experience it up close and personal. If you don't know much about nitro bike racing, it's a motorcycle that's been greatly souped up. It has this little button that you push that infuses nitro into the engine system and catapults you into a speed zone of over 100 miles an hour in just a matter of seconds. Dennis said this was a thrill for him as a moment in which he acknowledged this was his midlife crisis expression. Well, when I watched him pull the bike out and up to the raceway, and he was sitting across from his competitor, and they were watching the Christmas tree lights coming down, as they're referred to. It starts with the red and then moves through a series of quick lights until you finally hit the green, and he hits the button, and away you go down the path. Chaos out of control. In my mind, and he hangs on for dear life until near the end of the race, he hits a second button that prayerfully opens a parachute that will slow him down. Now, Dennis raced motorcycles, not at the nitro level, for a couple of times and had a few mishaps and accidents. And I looked at him and said, "What would happen if that parachute does not open?" He said something to the effect of, "I meet Jesus." Well, this was important because when I knew Dennis, he was one of those kind of shy, timid Christians. You wouldn't think of him as a Nitro writer when you saw him in church. He'd let his wife do stuff in the choir. He let her get up front and lead. He let her do all those things, and he just sat there and smiled and would go home. There is an interesting word in the passage that Jesus offers to his disciples. It's as if the Christmas tree lights of the raceway are coming down and the green light hits, and we think he says, stay. The word is go and make disciples. Unleash the power of God's presence in and through your lives and take off on this spiritual journey and race. Don't sit back timidly believing that it must be someone else's role to do some other kind of thing. Some of you may be very familiar with this poor sheep guy by the name of Amos. And instead of tending sheep, God says, it's time for you to go and prophesy to kings and leaders in Israel. And I'm sure Amos, who was also a prophet about the same time as Isaiah, probably looked around and said, God, you have enough. You've got the long-winded preacher, Isaiah. You don't need me. And yet, we're all called to go, not stay. We're called to hit that nitro button, if it were, and be catapulted out into a world knowing that the only thing we have to trust is that Christ is ahead of us. In this passage, Jesus unfolds for us that if you and I are willing to go like Amos and all the others who God has laid claim and called them into service, we too will have these things as assurances. Jesus says to his disciples, when he says, go and make disciples, he tells them, all authority has been given to me. Go, therefore. See, the first point of this passage is that all authority is what God has unfolded for us through Jesus Christ. It would seem strange somehow that you and I would believe we're given some kind of authority to lord over others as Christians, when all too often we get misguided in understanding when Jesus said to his followers on the Mount of Galilee, all authority's been given to me. I remember my ordination moment when the bishop and all the elders of the church surrounded me on the stage at Hoover Auditorium. And the bishop says in these grand words that he repeats over and over to everyone that's ordained, take thou authority in the church. It could be a pretty heady experience if you didn't pay attention to Jesus. Because if you think somehow that the bishop is telling you that you're now going to go lord and lead over the people of the church, you've misunderstood the invitation of Jesus. Remember that it was Jesus who washed the feet of his disciples and then said, this is how it's going to be among you. If you're going to be the greatest, humble yourself, be servant of all. That's what it means to take thou authority. It isn't some ego call to believe that you have all the answers. It's an invitation to know who has the authority and who's sending you in his name. Matthew would make it crystal clear for the disciples. They are being equipped by the one who has all authority. This power and influence, if it is in Christ Jesus, then he begins to be judge and jury over all, not us as the church. He begins to be the one that parcels out those who can come and receive the bounty and provision of his love, not those who would choose to alienate or separate. Pay close attention. All authority has been given to me, so I say, go and make disciples of all nations. The second key part of this passage is that Jesus is inviting us not to just go to our family and friends to make disciples and baptize them. He's asking us to go to all nations. All the diversity of God's creative power is called together to become part of the body of Christ. If it were just left up to us, then we might be able to just parcel it out to a few. But this one who calls us and sends us to go has said to us, all nations, not just to the few we choose. This power and redemptive work that God sends his disciples into is not only left to their discretion, but he tells them specifically what he's to do in those places for those who are going to receive the power of their ministry. They're going to baptize and they're going to teach all that Christ commands. Now, the nature of baptism has grown in its life and time in the work of the New Testament church. You'll find that there were some stories that individuals were baptized but had not received the gift of the Holy Spirit. This anointing of water is not left up to our choice or our measure. It isn't that Paul baptized us or Peter baptized us or Apollos or someone else. It's that we've been baptized by this Holy Spirit and with fire, the scripture says. This Holy Spirit offers us new life. And those early followers, when they had just finished being baptized, put on a brand new outfit. They could walk among people in this bright white clothing, apparel, and acknowledge for many that there's been transformation in their lives. You and I are given that same invitation of new life to be washed clean, as baptismal waters suggest, to put aside, as the psalmist prays, any iniquity so that I would not be tempted away from God, but would be able to put my whole trust in God's redemptive work. This water as a source of life and the Spirit that moves across the face of chaos in Genesis are all part of that baptismal story, that sacred covenant of one who has been marked and acknowledged as God's. Jesus would at the Jordan River be acknowledged as the Son of God in the waters that would be marked by John, but in that outpouring would acknowledge that all of us who are Christian believers receive that power of the Spirit, receive the anointing into our lives in that new claim of faith. And he says to his disciples, teach them all I've commanded you. Again, please notice the emphasis. Don't teach them your popular theories or opinions. Teach them what I've commanded you. And if you pay close attention to Matthew's gospel and you go back to the words of Jesus, typically in the fifth chapter, you'll come across where Jesus takes the Ten Commandment language of the Old Testament and he begins to speak in what's better known as the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This enriching of the power of the Spirit through Christ's teaching is what you and I are called to do. Christ would walk among his followers on the road to Emmaus to teach them the Old Testament scriptures and the light of Christ's redemptive work. You and I are to extend that command to others in that same richness of faith, in the same bounty of Scripture, in the same way out of which we teach what Christ has taught us. And then remember, he ends this passage by saying, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the close of the age. I had a dear friend who used to always end his letters with a special little phrase, may God bless you always, comma, all ways. Two ways of seeing this message, that it isn't just in its entirety, but in each and every aspect of our encounter and richness of life, we've been invited to come. This morning, I wonder whether or not we'll really see that Christmas tree light of the racetrack and we'll push the button of faith. Will we be bold enough to go and make disciples? Or do we just want to stay here and hope that someone will come along? I tend to believe the words of Jesus and the command he gave to those who are bold enough to follow. Hang on. The ride might be furious, but the one who meets us at the end goes before us. Always. Always. Amen. Share with me our closing hymn. It's printed in the center of your program just after your verses of Scripture. I've decided to follow Jesus, and sing it if you believe it.